Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the dean of the prestigious Donald Reynolds School of Journalism, Alan Stavisky, will join us. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Sean Carey and Dory Guy. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
What has the massive Tahoe Reno Industrial Center contributed to Northern Nevada, and just in the past few years? Well, they're home to 130 industrial companies, manufacturing, distribution, clean energy, occupying over 12 million square feet of industrial space, and employing over 6,000 Nevadans. That's incredible. All in less than 5 years. And with over 100,000 acres to go, we're just getting started. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome for the first time to the program, Alan Stavisky. He is dean of the Don Reynolds School of Journalism at UNR. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
So the question I have for you, in this modern era of Twitter, Facebook, newspapers, online, offline, the online product being available 3 days ahead of the actual paper, what is journalism these days?
Well, this is an extraordinary time to be in this business, Sam, and very challenging both for folks who are practicing journalism and for those of us who are in journalism education and preparing the next generation. In many ways, the enduring values remain the same, watchdog to those in power and telling the interesting stories. But yet, there is profound change in terms of all these new platforms and the business models for many media organizations have been blown up. So it's the best of times and the worst of times coexisting.
And how do you stay on top of a movement that's happening from the bottom up? Because these kids that are 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 are ahead of anything that you're teaching because they're there with the devices, they're there communicating. All right, I'll give you an example. My granddaughter is 16 years old. Mm-hmm. She never watches a local TV newscast, doesn't read a newspaper, but yet she's informed. She's informed about everything. How do you teach your generation of students to deal with a group that's almost like a renegade group out there?
Right. Well, we refer to this generation as digital natives because they never knew a time without media being available on devices other than televisions, radios, newspapers. So this is a group that only knows this information age, this digital age of abundance. So we really are constantly tearing up our curriculum. It's a time of constant curriculum reform and changing what we do and how we do it because of the skill sets and the interests and the lack of interest of those folks who are coming in. But also we have to be cognizant that we are training folks for a workforce that both still has the traditional elements of television stations and newspapers. They still need a workforce. But in other ways, we're preparing people for jobs that don't exist now and to work with technologies that don't exist now.
Do you have a heart attack every time the iPhone comes out with a new operating system?
Well, you know, there's a danger in chasing technology. And one of the things that's so challenging for us is to, you know, be on top of what these latest tools and platforms are, because obviously we need to be preparing students for that. Yet at the same time, if you're always running out behind the latest tool, you lose track of, you know, of the eternal verities and the enduring values about verifiable, ethically produced journalism and strategic communication. So it really is all about, you know, striking a balance between, you know, the emerging and the enduring.
Well, one of the problems is that, you know, everybody always wanted to be the first, but now there's such a desire to be first that it seems like the truth gets lost in there sometimes.
Well, you know, they say there's now a deadline every minute. You know, I mean, previously, if you were a journalist, you had, if you worked for a newspaper, you had most of the day to nail everything down, and your deadline for the morning paper might be 11 p.m., and so you've got all day to, you know, get it as close to the, you know, the truth as you could. Similarly, in television news, you worked on the story, you polished it all day. For 6 o'clock, you could update it for 11 o'clock. Now, soon as you've got that information, you've got to put it up on the website, you've got to tweet it, put it on the Facebook site, and as a result, with that constant deadline pressure, some accuracy has been lost. We've seen a lot of that in the coverage of breaking news events like the Boston Marathon bombing, where there was very incorrect news about suspects and the shooting of.
Actually, it wasn't news. And that's the point, is mm-hmm. It was information that was put out there that was incorrect. That is not news.
But then was picked up, though,
right,
by news organizations that had seen it out there on social media and therefore was out there in the marketplace of information.
What do you think of Twitter?
Well, Twitter is still evolving. I mean, it is still, you know, an immature communication form at this point. I think in many ways,
but an immature form that has changed the world.
Oh, indeed, and in many ways, it's a wonderful way to. I use it to get a quick hit on what's going on, but you know, by drawing upon sources that I trust, but. Again, anybody can be a journalist on Twitter, and so you have some major questions about the quality of information, and part of our job then is to train people to be information literate, to make sense of Twitter and Facebook and a brave new world in which there are all sorts of information sources, many of whom we don't understand what their interests may be. They're not vetted in traditional ways. So we see part of our job is not only to prepare people to work in the media industries, but to prepare people broadly across campus and across the community to be literate information consumers and to understand this whole world and how to make those evaluations themselves.
That's a big job. Let's take a break. More when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
Trucks. In Nevada, professional truck drivers move 94% of all of our freight. Today, we'd like to recognize our master truck drivers, those individuals who have driven more than 1 million miles or 10 years accident-free. These professional truck drivers are among the best of all drivers, dedicated to safety on our roads and highways. We'd like to thank them and all of America's professional truck drivers, because trucking moves America forward.
To state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Alan Stavitsky. He is dean of the Don Reynolds School of Journalism at UNR. The joint operating agreement story out of Las Vegas, where for many, many years it's either been printed by the Las Vegas Review Journal, the Sun, that is, right. And then eventually in the last go-around, they actually adapted it into the actual paper as a section. From the four family members from the Sun, three of them want to get out, take the money and run. And one, Brian Greenspun, wants to hang on in there. Do you think that there is any legal issue that he can really hang his hat on? Isn't this just a fight between a family, and three family members say, we want out, and one says, I want to keep going?
Well, you know, I don't have any really inside information about this, you know, beyond.
I don't think there is any inside. I think it's all been right out there in the press. It's been right. One of the ugliest fights I've seen in the media in the state in years.
But that said, you know, with what I've read and heard about the case, it seems to be primarily a family dispute and a contractual conflict between family members. You know, from the standpoint of joint operating agreements, I mean, this has been a longstanding federal policy to attempt to keep multiple newspapers alive in some cities, so you've got diversity of viewpoints. But you know, in the Las Vegas case now, the Sun is, of course, a very small insert in the Review Journal, and a lot of people who care deeply for the rich history of that publication are really concerned about the future of the publication and had anticipated this day coming.
And yet the Sun's website is very well thought of. The reporters for the Sun have been extremely well thought of, including winning a Pulitzer Prize just a few years ago. So it's not like the paper still doesn't have worth, but it's really morphed more into an online publication. So I was kind of joking with you in the first segment. A lot of their stories, I'm a newspaper guy. I like ink my hands. And it's frustrating when I go to Las Vegas on a Monday and buy the paper and the stories have all appeared online 2 or 3 days earlier. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. Well, yeah. Indeed, you're sort of scooping yourself on the website. But that, you know, in this world where many newspaper organizations have adopted a digital first strategy, really what's happening is that the printed edition is basically the best of what, you know, what has already been on the website. So some folks say, well, you know, well, if the Sun continues to exist as, you know, as a web product, you know, well isn't that, you know, just as good? And I'm sure there are many people who only follow the Sun on the website. Indeed, that's, you know, what I do, being, you know, up here in Northern Nevada. But I guess the challenge is, from a business standpoint, there's been concern that without the, you know, the print organization subsidizing the website, will the website be able to continue? And I think that's what a lot of the concern about, if the JOA goes away, what does that mean for the Sun as a digital only product?
Well, I think it begs the question, does Brian Greenspun personally or put together a group to finance the website himself? And at this point, that doesn't seem particularly likely. How long are we going to continue to see printed newspapers?
I think they're going to be around for a while. I don't see an end to that. I think perhaps the days of daily publication for most publications those days may be numbered. I mean, fairly extraordinary to see the Portland Oregonian, which is bills itself as the oldest business in the state of Oregon and had published daily since the 1850s. Well, the Oregonian, as of October 1st, is now a four-day-a-week publication. So, to see something like that, I mean, that's a fairly extraordinary sea change. But I don't see a time where, you know, the Oregonian and other newspaper companies then go to a digital only and scrap the print publication altogether. I don't see that happening for a while.
I was visiting with the editor of the Reno Gazette Journal this week, and she was telling me, A, that they just bought a new printing press, so the paper version will be around for a while, at least amortizing that.
Right.
But she also was talking about how young folk have no problem with paying for things online, whereas older folk are kind of irritated, but young folk are willing to pay. So do you see that as the future model?
Well, One of the bright signs for journalism these days, and particularly for newspapers, has been that the paywall experiment, the idea that you've got to pay to access the digital content, seems to be working at a lot of places, from major national publications like the New York Times to even at the local level, where, you know, you have the Reno Gazette Journal adapting its digital publication. So I think, you know, that had been an open question and seems to be working, and driven in part by young people who are used to saying, well, you know, you'll pay for music on iTunes, you'll pay for Netflix to, you know, watch your Breaking Bad and the like. So maybe, you know, that's a model to, you know, to follow for the news. So, you know, that is one of the bright signs and one of the encouraging spots for journalism today.
And that's where we got to leave it. Thank you so much. Come back, will you?
Will do.
All right, we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Pizza Baron has opened a new Sparks Spanish Springs location. As a way to thank you, Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We delivered for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
Evergreen Carpet Care is the leader for Northern Nevada carpet cleaning services, and here's just a few of their satisfied customers to tell you why.
I love Evergreen Carpet Care because of their great service. They did an awesome job on my carpet and my upholstery, and I love the way they called me back. They were very professional, and I would highly recommend them.
I called Evergreen Carpet Care to come in and do a thorough cleaning, and after they were finished, I was absolutely amazed. The carpets actually look brand new.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's forever Evergreen.
Experience the Eldorado's Power Pennies Plus, voted best casino promotion by News and Review readers. Keep on winning with bonus games that follow you. Start your engines with NASCAR Virtual Racing. Take the checkered flag and win free play with progressive payouts. Get more winning power with random birthday bonuses and our Power Pennies Plus Fantastic Friday Slot Tournament. Play Prospectors Plunge Tournaments Friday at 6, 8, and 10 p.m. Power Pennies Plus, only at the Eldorado.
Pizza Baron has opened a new Sparks Spanish Springs location. As a way to thank you, Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We've delivered for 40 years.
piping hot all over town.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers to add context to our Power Pundit panel today. We're taping this the morning of the 17th, the morning after the night before. Sean Carey is here, the political columnist for Reno Tahoe tonight, and Dory Guy, former chair of the Washoe Dems. Pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you.
So the New York Times headline, Republicans back down, ending budget crisis. What's your headline?
It's about time. I mean, it wasn't a surprise. I mean, when you get to the point that 3 out of 4 Americans think that you're doing a bad job, maybe you need to kind of listen to them. And, you know, I've heard the argument that, well, all of these Republicans campaigned for the House on an effort to repeal or defund Obamacare, and so they're actually serving their constituents, but the poll numbers say otherwise. And the fact is, Obamacare is settled law. You know what? If you wanted to do it, should have won the election in 08, should have won the election in 10, or won the election in 12. They didn't happen. And you cannot tie... trying to hold up the government by tying it to a piece of subtle law. They're two separate things, and that's the way the Americans have looked at it.
You know, it's interesting because Tom Mitchell, former editor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, points out that defunding can work. When you look at Yucca Mountain, for example, that is settled law, if you want to put it like that. But between Harry Reid and President Obama, they have defunded this thing to the fact that it is pretty much laying dead on the ground.
You know what? I guess there's perks to being in charge.
Mm.
And you know what? Is when you, if the Republicans want to change it, win elections.
And that's the major point. Dory, your headline on this.
You know, clearly there were no big winners in this particular situation. My feeling was, is, you know, that the Republicans sort of held the Democrats hostage with their demands, because they had gotten away with it before, and ultimately it wound up between the party, the Republican Party within the Congress. And that's really sad, because their popularity rating, I know, has gone down. The real losers in this, I believe, is the American public, the constituents, their constituents, because they're also upset with their own people, that we'll probably see a Democratic Congress next time around.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because both Republicans and Democrats work for the government. They're the people that have been furloughed. They're the people trying to explain to their mortgage company why their payments are late. The government last night issued a statement saying all creditors should take a deep breath here and work with the government employees, because they will get their money back. Your thoughts on Ted Cruz, and what has Ted Cruz become through all of this?
I think the Houston Chronicle retracting their endorsement, I think, speaks to Ted Cruz implicitly. It's absolutely ridiculous. He filibustered nothing, for starters. The vote was still going to happen no matter how many times he read children's books on the air. And number two, it's not the grown-up way to handle the process. I think that Ted Cruz is an embarrassment to Texas. I think he's an embarrassment to the Republicans. And it's not necessarily, when things like this happen, we're not going to see people necessarily defecting from the R's to the D's, but you're going to see people from both sides that are saying, forget it, I'm not voting.
And that's the really sad thing, when you get those people that do not vote.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing I've been bringing up for the last week here, which is the importance of primaries. That we see the activists on both sides in their respective areas come out and win, because the party faithful are the ones that come out and vote. But it's the general public that needs to come out and vote. And we need to make more of that and encourage people. But you look at the numbers, and they are pathetic.
And you know, unfortunately, they are the ones that scream the loudest down the road. They're the ones right now that are having a fit about this government shutdown, or what was the government shutdown. And they were
partial
the ones...
Shutdown.
Partial shutdown. And they were the ones that should have been out there voting last
right.
June in our primaries, and they weren't. And, you know, I was really upset. My other take on this morning, to find out that our good Senator Haler and our Congressman Amadei both voted against this last night. And that really upset me. I mean, I am a Democrat, but, you know, looking at it from both sides, I think that they were way off.
Well, and it's interesting, because this is a long game. You know, Congressman Amadei has always said that he wants to vote the conscience of the people who put him in office. And I think he certainly voted the conscience of a good portion of the people who put him in office, but not necessarily the conscience of the folks in Washoe County. And I think that potentially, where he could have had this seat forever, might have some opposition in the next go around. I don't see anybody yet, but I mean, that could be. And with Senator Heller, an interesting position to put himself in as he has tried to moderate his positions, but he's still got 5 years before he has to worry about facing the public.
You know, I don't get it. I actually had to talk to Congressman Amadei's office a couple of days ago, and I contacted a personal friend of mine who works for him, and I was not able to get through because, guess what, she wasn't working. And that is the problem. I don't think that Congressman Amadei is sitting in a completely safe seat. I mean, when his opponent last time spent like $30 on a haircut and still managed to get, I think, 37% of the vote or something like that.
Yeah, but that's the registration of a Democratic Party in that
right,
area that are not going to vote for a Republican. So, I mean, it's going to have to be somebody that comes out. But you know, to give Congressman Amadei his due, he's one of those few politicians that actually comes out and says, you know, I'm going to vote the way I think I should vote, and if they don't want to reelect me, then so be it.
Well, it just comes to the fact that there should not be a politician that exists in this country that is voting with their caucus first. You have your conscience and you have your constituents, and both should come before your caucus.
And I agree completely with that statement, and especially within your contingency. You know, I'm sure that both of them have had many, many letters and many, many calls and emails telling them what they thought. From their contingency.
And then I got an email yesterday, and somebody said to me that they thought that after the election is over, you've elected that person to make the decisions for their constituents during the time they're in office. And if you don't like their decisions, then throw them out.
That's very true.
We're out of time. Thank you very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
At Bradley, Drendel, and Janae, we fight for the legal rights of our clients here in Nevada. We are also proud to partner with News 4 in recognizing the Nevada Military Support Alliance. Nevada's servicemen and women stand in harm's way to fight for our freedom and the way of life we all enjoy as Americans, some giving the ultimate sacrifice to defend our great nation. At Bradley, Drendel, and Janae, we are Nevada proud, and we salute America's Armed Forces and the Nevada Military Support Alliance.
There are two things you should know. First thing, shop Grocery Outlet first and save the most. Second thing, Grocery Outlet also has an amazing selection of wine.
And handcrafted beer.
Those are the two things I want you to know. You should also know about this great deal.
Right now, for just 99 cents, you can get a 5-pound bag of potatoes. Wow.
Grocery Outlet, a bargain market.
If the recent changes in healthcare have you feeling like there's a lot to learn, you're not alone. At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we've done our homework on the new healthcare law, so we can help you make an informed decision, like finding a reliable health insurance plan that's right for you. All our plans offer $0 preventive care benefits to help keep you healthy. Our plans cover doctor visits, prescription drugs, hospital stays, and more. Choose from doctors and hospitals in the Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield network. Generations have relied on us for their health care coverage. Apply today. Your coverage is guaranteed, and there are no medical exams required. Act today. You need to apply by December 15th to make sure your coverage starts January 1st, 2014. Now you can get reliable coverage from a name you can trust. Call us at 1-866-768-9305 for a free quote. That's 1-866-768-9305. Or visit lookatanthem.com.
Coming up next week on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great lineup. Anjanette Damon will join us, political reporter, former governor's chief of staff. Mike Hillaby will be here, and the head of Kimmy Candy. Hope you bring samples. We'll see you on the next broadcast.